Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Tuesday, November 15th. Today, we're visiting with Colorado Sun environmental reporter Michael Booth about a company that is working to make recycling easier for consumers with a bin that does the sorting for them. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy can help you find ways to keep your home or business running smoothly while reducing energy use and saving you money. Find everyday tips for using less energy and simple ways to manage your energy budget at xcelenergy.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1806, Lieutenant Zebulon M. Pike and his small expedition sighted what he decided to name Grand Peak. He wrote, quote, "At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I thought I could distinguish a mountain to our right, which appeared like a small blue cloud, viewed it with a spyglass, and was still more confirmed in my conjecture. When our small party arrived on the hill, they with one accord gave three cheers to the Mexican mountains." To the Utes, the mountain was called Tava, or Sun Mountain, since the morning sun touched it before other nearby heights. The Spanish initially called it Montana del Sol for similar reasons, but since the early 19th century, it has been predominantly known as Pike's Peak. Pike set out that summer on the 5th American expedition into the Louisiana Purchase, seeking knowledge and to build relationships with American Indian cultures whose allegiance the United States needed to control its new claim. Pike's primary goal was to find the headwaters and route of the Red River, which roughly divided American and Spanish claims on the southern plains. Fascinated by the mountain, Pike set out with two soldiers and the party's doctor to climb it later that month. As they gained elevation, Pike marveled at the view, but the task proved tougher than he expected. The trek to the top grew easier by the end of the century with the completion of the Pike's Peak Cog Railway in 1891. In 1915, Booster Spencer Penrose built a road to the summit and sponsored the Pike's Peak Hill Climb the following year to promote the route. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun invites you to hear from working journalists who have been covering the 2022 election season. Hear about their perspectives, experiences, and more with political reporter Jesse Paul. Registration is free. The event will be held virtually on November 17th from 6 to 7 p.m. Learn more at coloradosun.com/events. Now our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you, visiting today with the Colorado Sun environmental reporter, Michael Booth. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Carol. As we get toward the holidays, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And there's a really interesting story that you've been working on about recycling, a Colorado company that is creating a particular recycling machine. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, speaking of the holidays, there are a lot of people traveling over the next few weeks, over the next 6 weeks, really, through the beginning of January. And I think we've all been in that situation where we've finished our cup of coffee at an airport or a bus station or a train station or the roadside stop. And you walk toward the trash cans and recycling and you're trying to figure out, is this cup supposed to go into the landfill? Is the lid supposed to go into plastics recycling? Is the whole thing supposed to go into composting? Which bin do I use, door number one, door number two, or door number three?
It is. It's maddening. And I run into that at the farmer's markets, you know, and grocery stores. Yes, it is. It's confounding.
And another thing that often happens is you walk over and you find out that they're all full, or the one you think you're supposed to use is overflowing and you don't want to leave a mess and you don't really know what to do with it. So the Environmental Protection Agency has issued a bunch of new entrepreneurial grants for companies that are trying to do a good job in all environmental fields, some of them in recycling. And there's a Longmont company called Clean Robotics Incorporated that just got a significant small business grant, small business innovation grant of about $400,000. And what they do is they make recycling stations and composting stations. So they're sorting stations, really. So let's say you're walking through DIA and you've got that coffee cup or something else in your hand, or trying to figure out what to put with it before you head on your flight or go get your luggage. And you walk toward one of their stations and you toss it in and the machine sorts it for you. And it uses cameras inside that compare. You could call it artificial intelligence. You could just call it smart internet, smart robotics. They compare it to pictures of all kinds of other things that need to be recycled and figures out which bin to toss it in without you having to worry about it. It's also got a TV screen. They can put forth educational messages about recycling or composting, or say you want to brag about how you're improving energy use at a place like DIA or whatever big institution this place, this thing happens to be sitting in. And it sorts it for you and also is connected in a smart sense to the people who have to maintain it, the custodial staff, so that if it's overflowing or if the coffee cup bin is getting full or the plastics cup bin is getting full or the glass bin is getting full, they will come by and they know to empty it out and put the stuff where it will actually be reused. And then there will be empty bins to encourage a new wave of recycling. So this company's doing some cool stuff and they're getting encouraged by the EPA to expand.
It is a big, big change for this concept. What is their inspiration? And what it makes me think of is I was recently overseas in Europe, and they have very, very different recycling and composting units on the streets there, but like on every street corner. Is the inspiration for this Colorado company elsewhere on the globe, or is it all innovated here in Colorado?
I think that they're taking a combination of influences and understanding that there are institutions that they are selling to, whether it's a stadium or a big city hall or just a big corporation that has a major headquarters, airports, places like that, where there's a lot of people passing through. Knowing that the consumer has an impulse to do the right thing, but also is easily discouraged and easily distracted. So you're distracted easily by this question about where do I put it and which is the right bin, or you're distracted or discouraged by the fact that the bins all seem full and does this stuff really get recycled and is anybody really taking care of it after I throw it in this hole? And so they're taking all these influences together and trying to make a solution that's both easier for the consumer, therefore expands recycling in general, but also solves the problem that the institution has, whether it's the airport management or whoever, and gets a couple of things out of their way and makes it more automatic for them.
Well, and it might also help with compliance as more and more municipalities require, you know, or legislating or mandating particular recycling amounts or levels from their homeowners, from their multifamily units, things like that.
Yep. Getting credit for being a green building, getting credit for environmental justice, all kinds of things can go to factor into this kind of sorting machine and easy solution, smart solution working toward those goals.
What stage of development are we at? Is there a chance that, you know, will we see this in 2023 being implemented in some of these venues?
Sure. Other states are buying them and they're looking to give us more information about who will be the first in Colorado to deploy their latest wave of machines. They've had a few iterations. They try to obviously get a little better each time, get a little more useful to consumers. And so they're putting out their orders, and they have a warehouse in Longmont that is going to be putting out their orders for the latest machines. And so we'll keep people up to date on where they can find them.
Oh, that sounds really great. And this entrepreneur grant from the EPA, how common is that? Are there other companies in Colorado that you know of that have received this grant? Or is it kind of unique to this company in Golden?
There are Colorado companies that are either already gotten them or in the running for them. The EPA likes to release them sometimes for semi-political reasons or multi-political reasons right before elections, as they did with this latest wave of number of grants that we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks.
Well, thanks for catching us up on this one, Mike. I appreciate it. Always love it when you can drop by and visit with us on the Daily Sun Up. And if any of our listeners have questions or thoughts about the podcast, drop us an email at podcast@coloradosun.com. And thanks to everyone else who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners at Pirate Audio. Have a wonderful day out there, and I sincerely hope you can join us for the next Daily Sun Up.
Read more on this story at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. For parents who have adopted foster care children with special needs, how much help they get from the government depends on where they live in Colorado. There is not one set amount of money, and in many places, parents must negotiate with county health services. Parents are often on their own to find doctors and therapists. In the second day of the Colorado Sun series on failed adoptions, we look at the wide discrepancies between the financial support parents get and the challenges some go through to find help. A Colorado ballot measure that will set aside nearly $300 million each year in existing tax revenue for affordable housing units across Colorado appears to have been passed by a narrow margin. By midday Monday, 52% of the votes tallied were in favor of Proposition 123. It will set aside up to 0.1% of taxable income each year for affordable housing. That's estimated to be $145 million in the current fiscal year and $290 million in 2023-24 and years after. The new funding aims to ensure teachers, nurses, firefighters, and other essential workers can afford to live in the communities they're serving. Colorado is expected to receive more than $8.3 million from a settlement reached with Google over accusations it misled users about location tracking practices. The settlement is worth $391.5 million nationwide and marks the largest multi-state attorney general privacy settlement ever in the U.S. Monday's settlement caps a nearly four-year investigation prompted by an Associated Press report project. It revealed that Google collects data through two Google account settings. Location history is off unless a user turns on the setting, but web and app activity, a separate account setting, is automatically on when users set up a Google account. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And The Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.